You are now listening to Out of the Blank.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Blank podcast. He's back again. It's been a long awaited journey. He got He got famous on me.
It is Mike.
You added a little extra at the end, didn't you?
Rando. There you go. Man, I haven't done that intro in a long time. So
that nut pop. Holy crap. I'm surprised you still got some afterwards.
Yeah, because like now, since I'm only doing YouTube, right? It's the Bully Bros Sith Talkers, and that's what I
so all right. So here's my bone to pick with you.
Oh, so, yeah. So everyone out there, if you're watching and listening, this mother effer says, I got a bone to pick with you, so we need to podcast. So I'm like, all right, well, what's going on? Nah, man, let's podcast. So this is
here's the bone.
Yeah, so we haven't discussed this. This is live.
Nothing bad. More like you've become all right, everyone listening, Mr. Mike Ferrando here has decided that he's become too famous, let the fame get to his head, and now his YouTube channel is getting all these Bully Maguire, which is like this Tobey Maguire like mashup videos. And here's the bone I have to pick with you. You basically mind screwed me on one of your episodes. You were doing a recording. I was in the live chat of it, watching it. And then Mr. Beast joined, some guy using a fake profile as Mr. Beast. And I'm like, what the hell's happening right now? Telling your brother that if he stands up on the video, he's going to give him $100,000. I'm like, what the shit? I'm like, for a second, I was losing my mind. I was all over the place. Like, is this the real Mr. Beast? But the real Mr. Beast doesn't have a space in between his name like that guy did. But then there was like Disney Studios in there telling some person was in there saying they were going to spoil a scene to a movie that's coming up. And then a Disney place like, don't you do it. I'm like, am I in some weird thing where like they're monitoring Sith Talkers now to be and it's all fake, it's not real actual profiles,
it's all fake. Yeah,
that's the crazy part. Is it was like I'm in bed usually at that time, so I'm like half asleep watching this. I'm like, wait a minute, I had to stand up in the middle of my underwear, and I was like, hang on a second.
Yeah, so like I said, just a little up, because I know the last time I was on, It was the FedEx fiasco. So that was
771.
That was a little bit ago. Everything that happened at FedEx ground. So that's,
we're at 926. What are you doing?
Yeah, man, I'm getting divorced. I'm only doing YouTube. I don't know what else.
The YouTube one seems like the worst out of the bunch. No, I'm just kidding.
No, well, and that's the thing, man. So like, right, I've been going through a lot of personal stuff lately, and yeah, I stopped doing the podcast just to give me extra time. So I'm only doing YouTube. And like you said, yeah, my YouTube channel is reaction videos. And, you know, at first we were reacting to pretty much anything. And then all of a sudden I started doing these Bully Maguire reactions. And then all of a sudden I started doing more and more and more. And then all of a sudden I went from a Star Wars community, and now I am in a Bully Maguire community. Oh, yeah. It's true. It exists.
It's a shift and a half right there. I didn't notice how, like, I thought Tobey Maguire, like, I was the only one that was really a giant fan of Tobey Maguire, but then started coming out of the woodworks of it all.
No, I didn't even know this community existed until, obviously, I started reacting to these videos. And then the creators were commenting on the videos. And now, which is bonkers, people are putting me and my brother
in a reaction video
in Bully Maguire videos, like our faces and everything. Like, so we just reacted to Bully Maguire reacting to the Sith Talkers. So someone put Bully Maguire reacting to one of our videos, and then we reacted to it.
Yeah, I saw that one.
And then we reacted to it on a live stream. So it was like a reaction inside of a reaction inside of a reaction inside of a reaction.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I commented. They used Tropic Thunder, Bully Maguire or Tobey Maguire.
Yes. And the gentleman who was with us, Freeboardum, he says he was the only one who uses that footage because it's Tobey Maguire, like, you know, raising his hood. Kind of like
Satan's Alley.
Like Monk. Yeah. Satan's Alley. Yeah. With Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, if they just go back through Tobey Maguire's like acting history, there's plenty of scenes you could use him in when he was young before he became like Spider-Man and all that.
And that's my brother Steve. That's his challenge to these Bully Maguire creators is use Tobey Maguire footage, not in a Spider-Man movie. Yeah, use it in something different. My brother wants Seabiscuit, like really.
Yeah, he's in Seabiscuit. That's nuts. I was just so crazy because I saw Mr. Beast join. I was like, oh my God. I was like, I was standing up. I was like, I want $100,000. It's funny because your brother, he went to go sit down and then he stood back up. He's like, am I getting another $100,000 if I stand? And because at that point, I had no clue. Like, because I didn't see this takeoff happen where you started getting your views up to like, it's like 600 something a video. And I was like, all right, well, this is like a lot. And you were going to hit, have you hit monetization yet?
I have not. So we're slowly growing. And that's the thing, right? So when I was doing the Star Wars podcast and we started on YouTube, you know, we were 20, 30, 40, 50 subs. When we started doing the reaction videos and we started doing Bully Maguire reactions January 1st of this year. So it's been a new, you know, 6 months. Our YouTube channels went from 50 subscribers and we just went over 400 in 6 months. So it's absolutely amazing. So that's what I'm saying. It's crazy for me to say it, but it's like the Bully Maguire community is the one who got my YouTube channel pumping and not the Star Wars community. But Star Wars, dude, is a really, really crowded space. And it's really, really difficult to break through being a Star Wars channel. So.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks for the info, I guess.
Oh, yeah. No, it is. It's super hard. Dude, there's so many Star Wars podcasts, Star Wars YouTubers, Star Wars Theory, Den of Nerds, and Drunk 3PO. There's all these huge Star Wars. I have a buddy, man. I have a buddy who, dude, he does professional edits just like Star Wars Theory. And unfortunately, man, his channel only gets like 20, 30, 40 views every time he puts a video out. And it's just as good as the guy who has 3 million subscribers. And I think he's just hit over 800 subscribers. So Star Wars is really tough. And it's a really weird community too, right? Because obviously Star Wars, there's positivity, but man, there's also a lot of negativity in the Star Wars community. You know, man, you know, firsthand, you've done some shows with me.
Well, don't forget about me on your rise to fame. When you start buying Bugattis and shit, don't forget where, don't you forget me. What was episode 100 and something that you were on, and then from all the way to where we're at now. I think I'm gonna do reaction videos too. Guess what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna do cop videos. So I just watched one before this podcast, and a cop starts walking to the scene. A guy has his phone out and he's filming it. And he goes, "Officer, the dude hit me first. I punched him right in the face. I swear to God, it was self-defense." And he starts this whole entire speech of how he just punched this guy in the face and it was all self-defense. And the cop's like, "What'd you do?" And the guy's like, "I punched this guy in the face because he hit me. If you called the cops, it's not my fault. He hit me." And he starts explaining what happened. And the cop just goes, "I don't think we're here for you." I think this is another call. Like, we didn't get a call about this. So he just explained, like, he just basically incriminated himself. And the cop was like, "I don't think this is what we're here for. We're here for a fire that happened over there."
Oh man, that's funny.
So what I'm saying is, like, I don't see, I just, any of those reaction videos, I mean, if you see videos, like, what I like to do to feel humble is I like to watch World's Greatest. And then I like to see like the people of that year, like World's Greatest 2021. It's all these people doing amazing things to make you really feel like a piece of shit that you're not doing much. But I'm like, everyone's like fit into one specific thing, I feel like, in life. And when you find that thing is when you excel at it. You know what I mean? But then the irony of it is like, if you're a really good artist, you develop arthritis to where you can't draw anymore. That's kind of how life is.
I play guitar. I play bass, and the world's going to tell me when I'm like, 60 years old, like, I'm going to have arthritis in my hands because I played guitar my whole life.
Brian Same Johnson thing. From AC/DC went deaf because, you know, he's a singer and all the loud music. Yes,
wear your earplugs, people. Wear your earplugs. That doesn't I went to look, a monster. Hey, look. I went to a monster truck event. No. I mean, no. I said earplugs, and it just reminded me. So, like about three, and it's the first time I've ever been to a monster truck event, and it was absolutely amazing. And I made sure to bring my earplugs. Those trucks are loud, but man, it was awesome.
Did you keep them in your fanny pack?
No, I just got in my pocket, my fanny pack. I don't have a fanny pack.
Well, okay, get you one.
No, I'm not a big, like I said, I associate fanny packs with like a big bodybuilders, right? They're the ones that had them like in the 90s. Actually, man, everyone had a fanny. My dad had a fanny pack. Like, come to think about it, we used to go on vacation and my dad had like a fanny pack.
That's a cool thing to have as a dad. You got to have a fanny pack at that point. I feel like once the baby's born, a fanny pack just magically appears around your waist.
Hey man, they come in handy, I guess.
Go back to the monster truck show. What do you mean?
Oh, so no, it's just, yeah, the monster truck show was just so good. I was saying earplugs. That's the first time I grabbed my earplugs in a long time and wore earplugs to something to save my hearing. Even though over the 4th of July weekend, I went to, like I said, I'm getting divorced. So I went to my girlfriend's sister's house and he set off professional fireworks. And we were literally right next, almost really close to the big board that he had set up. And that was really loud. But
so town was trending on Twitter because we have a firework event that happens and it actually went off.
No,
early.
You sent me the video.
Yeah, the truck exploding, basically fireworks going all over the place. It's funny because someone put up a meme and this is why I think people are funny with their like. So memes are basically becoming the new form of news. People are now learning. Okay.
I've been listening to your show. Yes.
Okay. But it was Danny DeVito with the guns. And he says, I just started blasting. And it was like Ocean City fireworks officials say it goes off at 4:30 or 5:30 tonight. And then it was like, and then the actual scenario, oh, we're going off right now. It's 12 o'clock. And then it's like, and then I started blasting. And I was like, yes, 100%. I was so hoping for like an arm or a dead body or something.
Yes. You also said that. What did I say? My first reply was, is everybody okay? And then, all right, listen, everyone, his reply to that was, man, I just at least want to see an arm or something.
You know how much traffic it caused? You know how many people had to wait in lines in their hot cars, probably a dog or two that needed AC and the person was too cheap to turn on their AC? That's what I'm focused on. There has to be a good event. Somebody better be dead. That's what it is. Every time I've ever had anything happen in my life, why are we waiting in this traffic? Somebody better be dead.
So that's how you rationalize it. I see.
Well, what's the cost and the effect? I'm not getting this whole pay for purchase items. Everyone's got purchase. Apple
no,
Pay.
Yes. Oh, okay. So, all right. So no. It just
triggers Apple Pay.
It just triggers something. No, because I was out yesterday once again with my girlfriend and you know, she just went to get something for her mom, like some hamburger meat down by where I'm at. Cause there's a store down by me that has just really good, like hamburger and steaks and the whole nine yards, all
meats
just
murder.
fresh stuff. It's really good. Anyways, I don't know. We were just talking about money for whatever reason. Oh, she paid with cash. So the lady was just like, you know, that would be, you know, $10.14. And she pulls out a 20 and I said, oh, cash. I was like, that's weird. I said, I don't remember the last time I pulled out a 20 from my wallet. I said, wait a minute. I don't remember the last time I pulled out my debit card. I said, I just use Apple Pay everywhere I go. And then my girlfriend proceeds to go, well, yeah, well, look. And she opens up her wallet and she's like, she goes, just in case for emergencies, if anything happens, yeah. She pulls out like $100 in this compartment, $100 bill in this compartment. And she's like, I got this just in case. It's with me. It's my just in case money. And I looked at her and I said, oh, I said, well, that's kind of smart. I said, because that $200-something doesn't show in your bank account. So it's kind of like you're not seeing it. So I was like, oh, I guess that is pretty smart. But then I looked at her and said, no, I just don't want to use my Apple Pay everywhere I go. I'm over cash.
There's somebody listening in their car right now to this episode, maybe a month down the line after it gets published. They know that where you live in Indiana and they decide, hey, I'm in my Ford Focus. I'm turning up the radio to the notch of 32 because 32 is a good quality to listen to your stereo. It's not too hot out, so the windows are probably down. And okay. He goes, so I know Mike Lando Ferrando, his girlfriend keeps an emergency stash of money in her wallet. He's going to come. He's going to go to the pawn store, buy a shitty Glock. He's going to come over to you, point the gun, rob you. Basically, he goes, give me the $100 that's in your wallet. She checks the first zipper, pulls out the $100, goes, here you go. Nice try. I listened to the podcast. There's $200.
No, your audience is filled with positivity and kindness.
That's not the cult I wanted to start. What are we doing, people? Start building statues.
But no, like, hey, kind of circle back to, because, you know, I do listen to your podcast. And, you know, you recently bring up topics like, you know, sometimes you get into something that, you know, that steers you on a different path that you might not have known you had a talent in, and this and that. And I can kind of relate that to doing my reaction videos. You know, you said this stuff recently, and I'm just like, that's exactly what I did. I was doing podcasting. I was doing a niche that I knew, I know a lot about, Star Wars. I love Star Wars. And then all of a sudden I started YouTube just for the podcast, but then like it switched and it turned into something different that I knew nothing about, that I didn't know anything. And now I'm in something that's brand new. And I'm in a different, you're talking about alternate timelines, like putting your life on an alternate timeline. And yeah, so I'm doing something different and on a different path than I was 6 months ago.
Well, so, what, yeah. Why did people define, like, here's the interesting thing is that you're told so many things of what you can be, and then you feel like you can never break outside of your zone because it's too hard or it's too difficult or there's too many things out there that are keeping you from doing the things that you want to do. But who's to say that the path that you're on isn't just going to magic? Everyone always says you're going to figure it out when you get older. Something's going to come across your way and you're going to figure it out. I'm in more belief of it than not. I feel like it all swings around some full circle. I think there are some people like myself that feel like they have something they need to be doing and feels like it's going to come, but it comes with time. You know, I think a lot of people feel like they have a mark that they want to make. Mostly it's the aspect of being remembered. That thing of being remembered, I think that's why fame is so attractive, especially to a lot of people, because would you rather be remembered by everyone for a second or rather be remembered by a bunch of people forever? Like, there's going to be people that are going to really care about you. You know, it's the whole aspect of fame, I think, is only so attractive because you just don't want to feel like you were never here. You know, we're gone in an instant in the grand scheme of things. So I think it's important, but I look at it like, as long as you can wake up out of bed and not hate yourself, you can look in the mirror and yeah, times are tough, but you can look in the mirror and truly know like, hey, at least I made it out of bed. That's the hardest thing for a lot of people to do. Like, that is a big accomplishment in my book. And that's what I would consider successful. My measure of success would be like, I would like to have Logan Paul money or some shit where I could just do a bunch of, I would do good things. I would do such good things. I would learn how to desalt the water so California doesn't go through fucking droughts. What is that shit?
Yeah, but a measurement of like your own success, like I said, you define as, you know, would you rather be, you know, remembered forever or remembered for a minute?
And an infinity pool is all I want.
Take that out of the equation. You could be okay with yourself as long as you know, like, you raised your family good and your kids turned out good, or, you know, you helped somebody during your lifetime. If you can hold on to that stuff, I think that's an accomplishment within itself. You don't have to be famous to help somebody, right?
That's true. Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how small or big you help. You know, I think that's what, you know, like I said, it's crazy, man. Like I said, I'm divorcing and new girlfriend and new life. And I have like a really like crazy new outlook on life. And I, like, a couple months ago, man, I really like really tried to like sit down, look at myself, and change myself and to concentrate on things that I've done wrong and try to fix those things. Like you said, nothing can happen overnight, but it's like, you know, it's like when that light, like you said, now I'm older, but like, it's no excuse, but like, you know, the light bulb goes off and you're just like, okay, man, I'm in my early 40s. I still have 40 to 50 years to live. I need to start living, you know, the right way, or making better decisions and trying to be a better person. I don't mean making this go into like self-motivation mode, but like, this is kind of where I'm at right now. And, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm really trying to do things differently like just with my temper or with the way I do things or with the way I am with somebody or whatever. And like I said, man, and I feel good. I'm 43, man. And this is the best mentally, like right now, like today, I've ever felt, probably, man, in the past like 20 something years.
I think for a while I was getting real like into like the I'm still kind of into the politics stuff, but I just don't let it upset me as much anymore. I just look at it like there's too much.
I know you do.
Well, there's just too much to be upset about if you keep looking deeper into it. I think it just becomes to a point where it's like, I don't really give a shit about anything that much anymore. Like I care about basic things when it comes to people and all that. But when it comes to the grand aspect of like working yourself up, it's like life is a little bit too short to have like this like negative ideal and constantly making yourself miserable. I was getting gray hairs for a little while. I was like, oh my God.
I've heard you say that all the time, man.
But it's just interesting because it is genetic. Because my grandma got it at 25, so starting to realize that's probably where I'm gonna be.
I'm just okay, lucky.
I'll rock it. I'll get the size. You should do the lesbian haircut. Wait, I can't say that. You should do a short haircut. My grandmom's lesbian. I'm talking about her hair. Just get a short haircut. What? I could say it. My family.
Oh, boy. No. See, I got like the, so everybody watching on YouTube, I got like the Loki like thing going on. So even I've wore this hairstyle pretty much my entire life.
Tom Hiddleston, so. You comparing yourself. You're more of you would be a serial killer if there was a movie about one.
What?
Come on. You've never thought about killing somebody?
Well,
everybody's
all right. Hold on. Okay, hold on. So, if I would, you have to. Okay, look, you have to get rid of the dental.
Hold on.
You gotta get rid of the.
Hold on. Stop. Audacity sells this for legal purposes. Stop. When I edit this, Audacity now will sell this information for legal purposes. That's in the contract now. Can't do it. 100%. This just happened like a week ago. They just established this new content. So all this is my issue with streaming services right now. YouTube, everybody, now Audacity has jumped on the bandwagon that they're going to be able to sell your data. They're letting you know that if you use it, they're selling everything. But if they come across something like that, true crime podcast is probably going to be an issue. They can sell it for legal purposes. So that'll put you on a watch list. What I see, all guys can get me going off about the political shit. Okay. So episode 9/11 is coming up. So I'm doing a special episode for that specific release. It's going to be like a 6.5-hour episode. It's going to be with a couple different guests recorded at different times. I'm going to have two people that work in the military that know exactly what happened on that day. Then I'm going to have it balance it out with a conspiracy thing because I have to have the balance. I like the balance of this. But when you look into the 9/11 stuff, which I've been researching more into, dude, they're plenty of accounts that even happens today where the government will catfish somebody. They'll, let's say like a message pops up on your computer. We work for this terrorist organization. And it's to one of the accounts is with a 17-year-old kid. And he goes, I need you to go pick up these supplies, and then rattles off a list of supplies. And it's a bunch of stuff to make a bomb. The kid goes, okay, let me ask my mom first. Then goes, gets the supplies, meets at the location they told him to meet at, and they arrest him for terrorism. And then now he's in prison.
Yeah, that's major catfishing.
That's creating the issue. It's just because it's when you're 17, you're malleable as shit. When you're even now, we're still malleable to be able to convince. If I pitch you, like I pitched you the cell phone before, if I pitch it in a crazy way, it can convince you to be like, I don't want that. But it's like, but you do want it because you have it. And it's like you start to realize everything's a fucking sales pitch. And that's when I start getting crazy. I'm like, oh my God, these are just a bunch of people using this crazy, like for instance, lockdown and quarantine. They're the same shit, but they mean two different things. Quarantine is seen as you're a great person for trying to think of others. You're thinking as a careful person. Lockdown means you're in fucking lockdown. The doors are barred. You're not going anywhere. It's a forceful action. They're the two same exact outcomes, but two different effects that have to it. It makes me start to analyze our language. I was talking to a bunch of people from the UK, a couple of good friends of mine. We're doing a podcast recording. I say something. They go, what'd you just say? I'm like, spunk. You know, spunk. Like, you got spunk to you.
You got spunk. Yeah, yeah.
They're like, that means semen over here. And I'm like, you start to realize like everybody's language is so different. No wonder people get into arguments with each other. You say one thing and they're like, what did you just call me? It's like, what do you mean? Like shaking your head up and down means yes. But in Romania and Bulgaria, I think we talked about before, that means no. So it's the opposite. Shaking your head side to side is actually, that means no over here, but that means yes over there.
What about slantless?
That's just, you're getting a punch to the face.
Well, you got to remember, man. I mean, just the English language alone is one of the most confusing languages, I think, out there. Like C, S-E-E, S-E-A, C, 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 the letter C, C. It's just like, there's just so many there. It's just, because I know that people that have tried to learn where English isn't their first language, I've been told that it is very difficult to learn English because we use the same words for many different things. Like you just said, quarantine and whatchamacallit?
Lockdown.
Lockdown. Actually, lockdown does sound pretty aggressive.
It's aggressive as shit.
No, it does. No, it sounds like
I've talked to,
because I think of jail.
Yeah.
Right.
I've talked to brothel keepers. I've talked to dominatrix. It's always lockdown. They don't say it's going to be nap time. They say it's lockdown. Unless you get the special package, then it's probably nap time.
Yeah. Like it's actually, yeah, it sounds aggressive.
Like when you say, hey, there's hey, and then there's hey, and you're like, whoa, you're coming at me with an aggressive tone to your voice. And then when people read texts, it comes off aggressive.
Don't even get me started, man, because texting, emailing can be read like 100 different ways than the way you mean it. Like, I hate that. That's why, you know, like you started this podcast and, you know, people need to have more conversations face to face so you can look at somebody in the eyes and you can read their body language. Yeah, you can't read body language. You can't see anything through text. You're going to interpret it the way you interpret it. And that doesn't mean that's the way the other person interpreted it. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, imagine someone has a fight with somebody and then they're going off about something to talking to somebody and someone just sends them a text like, hey, Merry Christmas. And then next, you know, the person goes, yeah, Merry Christmas. And you're like, what's wrong with you? Are you mad? It's like, no, I just said, yeah, Merry Christmas. And it's like, you don't know how that person's saying it. You can't convey the tone. And then when they voice text, your phone doesn't know what the hell you're saying. It's making guesses like a shot in the damn dark. And you're just sitting there like, oh, I'm going to the store. And it says, I'm going to fall on the floor. You're like, oh my God, you're running in the kitchen. Are you okay? I'm just going to the store. Do you need anything? Your phone said you fell on the floor. I was going to call Life Alert. It's like, no, that's not what it said. The phone is a dumbass.
Okay, so I don't use the voice. I mean, I have it, obviously, because I have an iPhone. But have you ever used the voice on the texting?
I use the one on Instagram where you just record and then say what you have to say and then release it. And then it'll send it that way. But I don't hit the mic button and then talk. And then my phone puts it into words. I don't do that. That's
okay.
Just
so how accurate is Instagram then when you do that?
Instagram is a recording of your voice, much like this is.
Oh, okay.
So you just hold it down. As long as you hold it down, it just gets a recording of whatever you're saying.
Oh, and then you just post it.
Yeah.
Then you just
so I don't have to worry about that. Cause I mean, I talk to people from other countries and stuff too. So sometimes their English isn't the best. So it's just an easier way to do that than texting it because their texting language is a little bit different than ours. And I'm just like, maybe the Neuralink might be a good thing. Maybe being able to sense intent.
All right. So I heard you talking about this shit on one of your newer episodes, contacts and glasses. And Yeah. So like you're like, oh, maybe it'll be a good thing. And you're like, yeah, maybe it'd be a good thing to have this and this and that. And actually the one I just listened to, I really wanted to bring up talking about like being in like the Matrix or in an alternate reality, right? You were talking about like something out of an episode of Black Mirror on one of your recent episodes. You're talking about, okay, a kid's father dies. He can see his dad like in this like virtual world. Okay, so there's an episode of Black Mirror where somebody dies and they buy a robot that looks just, it's a robot. And what they do, they implant all the past emails, all the past text messages, anything in writing, they program into this robot so it talks just like your
loved one. Done making scenarios, dude. Gee, every time I think it's something creative or something interesting, tells me it's a Black fucking Mirror.
Yeah, it made me think of that episode, and all I thought was, okay, like, yeah, this is straight out of Black Mirror. And I was just like, yeah, so you program a robot to be your dead loved one, and it looks, and you're living with your loved one, except it's a robot. That's real creepy. It was the episode is really creepy. But you're talking about a child. But what I was thinking about was like Ready Player One. Have you ever seen that movie, Ready Player One?
I know what you're talking about.
So like they put the goggles on and they're in an, like everybody is in this alternate reality. And they basically, everyone lives in this alternate reality. And then they come out just to basically eat and go to sleep. Right. And go to the bathroom. But like, yeah. And like, so that's where I think everything would head in the future, not the mind, not the chips or whatever, the neuro chips and stuff. I think, yeah, goggles or whatever puts everyone in an alternate reality so everyone can just escape their life always, all the time, because no one really likes their life at the end of the day. Despite
the scientists that just came out about Project Human 2.0, I mean, that says otherwise. The scientists went out in front of a giant conference of a convention of a bunch of people. It's called Project Human 2.0. It's a giant 15-minute long video. I played it on the podcast in a past recording. I don't know the validation in it. People say it's real shit, but apparently it's about like the microchip thing too with the vaccines. But they actually talk about apparently it's West Africa. They're supposed to be inserting this chip into people where it's supposed to help you understand speech, much like the neurochip, but it also leads into there's other, it's much like if I give you your phone, okay, your phone's basic principles to call, right?
Yeah.
Call, but then you get Instagram and you get all those add-ons to it. Well, they also track you through your phone. Your phone's like a GPS, you know, that's a tracking device. That's kind of what the chip is. It does all these amazing things, and it's kind of the point of it, but also has some things where the developer can go in and be like, all right, yeah, he's actually at this position, he's actually over here, and also be able to do that. And then she starts going off about how it's becoming all these things because she's worked with the people that have developed this whole entire thing, and they're practicing it in another country. And it's like it's sounds like conspiracy stuff, but it's like, I don't know, these conspiracies sometimes you start listening. I've created a couple. I got one about turf. You want to hear my one about turf?
About turf?
How many people have you been to school with that played sports?
Well, everybody.
Okay. Right? How many of those people how many of that majority of people have an injury from playing a sport? That enough to where they can't go pro?
Yeah, I mean, that happens. A lot.
I'm thinking that the coach sees
knee
that you're,
injury.
I think that the coach starts to see how good you're doing, and he realizes that you're about to leave and go
Shut
off to another
up.
School. So what he does
Shut
is
up.
He has the artificial turf, the fake grass, and he raises it up just a little bit to where your toes would be higher than the base of your foot when you step on it. And it's just enough elevation to do a slight fracture. So then when you get hit, it breaks, and then you're stuck playing the same high school game over and over and over. But it was just a conspiracy thing I was just joking around with and making up, and then once I started going with that, I'm like, shit, that's actually like a really good fucking like way to keep your make sure your team never goes on.
Oh, come on, that's absolutely crazy.
No, my other one's about time.
What about time?
Why is it getting dark around 9 o'clock and it gets
dark at 10 here, Christ,
and it gets daylight at like 5?
Yeah, that's because of the way we position our clocks, right? It's because we set our clocks back, we set our clocks forward.
Like this last year. We're supposed to have a time zone change when it comes to this point, but we don't have another time zone change for a couple of months. So what I'm thinking is, how many people? All right, so when the sun's up, what do most people go and do?
What do you mean? Hold on a second. Time out. You know why we do this? It's for like farmers and stuff. So, right. So people can farm and we can get food.
I get that. But last year,
I just want to point that out. Like, that's the significance to why the sun goes up and the sun goes down and where the clock is at a specific time.
Around this time last year, it was not like this. It was not getting dark this late. It was not
It was here in Indiana. Yes, it was.
No, it was not. I've talked to multiple people who said it was not getting dark this late. Okay. This is new. This is some new shit. Now listen, when the sun is up, what do people go and do?
I don't know. They go to work.
Go to work. And what happens when it is dark? What do they do?
They're home.
Okay. And they, usually what do you do when it's nighttime and you're in your house?
You're eating or you're watching
going
TV.
Going to bed. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So what I think is when they decided to open up the fucking world again after this pandemic in July of last year, when they opened up to get people back to work, because we need to restart the economy. We got to do all these amazing things. Now what they're doing is they're slowly making daylight a little bit longer, so you'll stay at work longer, make more money to get to the economy, and then go home, and you only have a little bit of time to sleep before you have to go back out to stop you from communicating to your friends and your family, only to go to work, make money, go home, go to work, make money, making the perfect machine. It's a fucking foolproof conspiracy.
What is this, the Truman Show?
I'm like telling somebody, you, like the we're in a dome. We're in a dome.
What's going on? I'm not making any extra money. I can't get any overtime at my job.
Poke some holes through that shit. There's no holes. There's no holes at all. It's a foolproof conspiracy. I'm going to make sure everyone starts rioting. Kill the government.
No, because you're talking about the economy. Dude, we can't make material fast enough to support the economy.
That's why they make you work longer.
But that's what I'm telling you. Where I'm at, I can't. I can't have any overtime. None. Zero. So nothing's changed for me. And I work in a restaurant supply business where people are trying to get patio furniture and refrigerators and freezers and this and that. And these, and like furniture, just furniture, patio furniture for a restaurant, man, this is months out because no manufacturer has this stuff.
Okay. Then maybe it's other people that like at a hotel business or at a facility that's only open during the daytimes and they have to work from open to close. And then sadly they closing later because the hours change because the daylight's out a lot longer. People that do jet skis, for instance, you work from when the sun rises to the sun sets. So that depends on how long the sun's going to be up. And when the sun starts going down, that means if last ride, which 5 years ago, last ride was at 6:37 when it got dark. Now it's 9 o'clock. What the fuck's happening? Like, something's happening with the earth.
Yeah, like 9:30 most.
They're slowly, there's a goblin-like creature in the center of the earth that's cranking a thing, and they stopped whipping them and giving them a break, and now he's slowly turning it. So now the world's slowly turning.
What time they start the fireworks on the 4th of July? Like a few days.
9 o'clock.
10 o'clock for me. 10.
About to say last night it was supposed to be like a 11 o'clock or something like that, or the other night on 4th of July.
Yeah, because I went to downtown Indianapolis, which they moved the fireworks. So they used to set them off at the tallest building downtown, and now they're not doing that anymore. But like I said, anyways, I went downtown and they didn't start till about 10:05, and they went for about a half an hour. But yeah, man, that's late. I didn't work on Monday.
Listen to the conspiracy. There's a goblin in the middle of the, like doing the pushing thing where they release the Kraken in the Pirates of the Caribbean where they're pushing the thing. And they go, look, we're going to let you the whole entire day. You just got to hit around this crank thing and then we won't whip you. And he's like, finally, no whip. That means it goes as slow as I want. And then it's a couple hours of daylight. And then when it gets to nighttime, they start whipping the shit out of him to get him to hurry up to make the full couple of circles to make it not night anymore.
I mean, it. Okay, so
that's a good conspiracy. That's fucking foolproof more than the flat earth. I like this one. I'm gonna patent that. If you tell me it's a Black Mirror episode, I'm gonna punch you right in the mouth.
Earth can't be flat.
No shit. No shit. Earth can't be flat. Move on to the next one.
Well, I just got done listening to another podcast with an astronaut. He has the most walked space time. Like on the moon or whatever, he has the most recorded hours in space, walking on the moon. And like I said, he was on the podcast and he was just like, it's just so amazing watching the Earth rotate around the sun when you're up there all day. And it was really interesting because he said there's certain points of the spaceship or where you can get gravity in it. And that's why he's saying they're talking about space stations up there of us living up there. Possible to get gravity up in space. It has to do with something spinning on the shuttle up there, and it will create gravity. And it just has to be a little bit, and it still is kind of the same gravity we have here on Earth.
I just
pictured it was real interesting.
I just pictured a bunch of astronauts coming back with like half their face slanted down because they were flying through this through space, and then there's just pockets of gravity. So then you hit a pocket and half your face just cracks down. You're like, oh my God. Yeah. And the other half is just stuck.
Yeah, they were talking about some area in the ship that spins, and if it spins a certain thing, and like I said, I guess there was a video where something dropped and it dropped. And that's why the guy was like, well, what about all the conspiracy theories out there who say, oh, that, you know, in this video, this dropped. And they're like, no. We can create gravity up in space. And I was like, oh, that's, and then he started, and this is why we're talking about living in outer space. But he did say, when you look at the Earth, it looks amazing because it's habitable. And when you look at other planets, it looks real. It doesn't look as good as looking at the Earth because the Earth is flourishing when you look at it from afar. Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
I think last time we talked, I talked about how I watched this YouTube series called Middle Ground, where it's like back and forth perspectives from each side, flat earthers and their scientists talking. The only reason flat earthers have a strong thing about the photos are fake is because that we've been known to CGI the photos to make them look more appealing for the audience. Cause sadly, a picture of just the regular Earth, as big and beautiful as it does look, it's not like photo worthy. It's kind of like taking a picture of the moon with your phone. It doesn't quite give it the justice. So they would touch up the photos. And then that kind of leads into, okay, if you've lied to me once, what makes you think that you're not going to lie to me again? You know, and that's like my whole thing with the government. I'm like, all the government, Operation Midnight Climax, like, come on, they were drugging people. They drugged Charles Manson. Come on. They made him do the murders. There's a guy that just spent, I think, 10 years writing a book about it, studying the whole case. There's a bunch of shit. There's still 70 something documents of the 9/11 thing that hasn't been released yet. And nobody's looking into. And the two people at the time, George H.W. Bush, and then that other fucking guy that's like the devil, basically, he reminds me of the Emperor Palpatine from Star Wars. The Family Guy did a remake of it, and they had him as the. You know what I'm talking about?
Like,
who was the vice president of George H.W. Bush? He had a pacemaker in his heart to keep him alive. I know this much.
Oh man, I don't remember.
I'll Google it.
Yeah, because the only name that's coming is Mayor Giuliani, but he was the mayor of New York when 9/11 happened. Who was the vice president? I'm real terrible with that stuff.
Dick Cheney. Wasn't his vice president, but that's the guy they're talking about. Dick Cheney. And George H.W. Bush. There were people that weren't letting the information come out, and they started to realize it was ties with Saudi Arabia. That's why they didn't release him. It was going to incriminate them. So there's a lot of, like, with these conspiracy theories, as sensitive as the subject as it is, there's a lot of shit that they're not even investigating.
You do know, I've seen lots of stuff on 9/11. When Bill Clinton was in office, he had an opportunity to bomb this area that Bin Laden was in, and they didn't bomb it because there was like children, there was like innocent like people in it. But he did have an opportunity to kill Bin Laden. So I don't know how many people know that. I'm just saying. But to 9/11, and I believe in some of the conspiracies because there's like explosions while the building is like falling, and then there's like another building somewhere that like collapsed like for no reason, and like it's, there's still like that's still unexplained. There's like a building next to it somewhere that collapsed. Why did that building collapse? And like I said, there might have been explosions in that building also. Dude, I've heard conspiracy theories that George W. Bush is the one behind the 9/11 whole thing. Like he's behind, like he's like Emperor Palpatine, like, because right in the prequels, Emperor Palpatine is behind everything.
Can I give you a little thought real quick?
Yeah.
So someone brought this up to my point where he goes, you know how if you listen to like a documentary of a 9/11 thing, they have a recording from the plane call?
Yeah.
How do you get a phone call recording when most people can't get service on their phone now in an airplane?
Right.
So a lot of people are saying that what they have said in response to that was that it was like a reenactment of the recording added to the video. And it's like, hang on a fucking second. Like this is, you were telling everybody this was a live thing. You let people insinuate, assume, and do all these things. You inserted that into the recording saying this was a final phone call to the family. So you made that up. what makes you think that you're not making up more stuff? And then that's when you see the doors, the chain or the leash starts to get let up a little bit, where they give you a little bit of stuff. Australia released 1,700 files on the UAP report. America released 9, and none of it anybody was happy with. And now everyone's given up on the whole alien thing, but a very few sum of people, my cousin is one of them, who spent a couple $1,000s now putting up banners, signs, cards, and everything to follow his website to learn about it, CoreyArmbrecht.com. Haven't been on it, but I'm just saying, I'll be honest with him, he's listening. But when you check the alien thing out, like, there's always something that, like, people just either stop going into. People stop the 9/11 thing. Nobody even searched into that. Nobody even talked about how George H.W. Bush and whoever else was with him went and did an interview about the whole scenario, did a press conference, was locked, no recordings, in an office in the court system, and with both of them together. Not separate, not any interview separate. Nobody even addressed those types of things. There's a lot of issues that are going on where people are like, you documented that phone call, you did that fake recording thing. Now, if it was dramatized or something, but the main question is, how the hell did you get a phone call of that thing when you can't get Wi-Fi access on an airplane? You can't even get any service or bars on a thing. They built Wi-Fi later, so you can't even make a phone call, especially with phones back then. Really?
I mean, there was a plane phone, right, in the back of the plane.
It was a person calling their family. It was not a pilot. It was a regular, normal person.
No. Then there's like a phone, like a plane phone in the back of the plane that the stewardess can use to make outgoing calls.
To speak out to the whole plane. It doesn't go outside of their little stewardess. It doesn't go out of the airplane. It stays inside the airplane. It's a speaker thing.
Which is, if what you're telling me is true, like, I've watched a 9/11 documentary with, well, they say the real family members, and then they play the phone calls, and then, like, they interview the family member, then they play the phone call.
That's the thing. How do you get the service to do that?
Yeah, I don't know, man, because I take my cell phone and I go, to somewhere, I go to the movie theater, no reception.
You know what the craziest conspiracy right now is? Not the fact that Bill Cosby is now released from prison and Britney Spears is still in prison. But the fact that she's in a mental institution, I think, still. Excuse me. But the fact that that guy, John McAfee, the guy that made the antivirus software.
Yeah, McAfee, yeah.
So people were saying that he got Epstein'd because he killed himself. And even though 2 years ago he put up a tweet, and one of a close friends of his, Brett Weinstein, who's been on Joe Rogan, has talked to him personally, even a couple of days before, say that he is not suicidal at all. The man has even said that, like, that people are watching him. And then what happened was, 2 years ago, when he thought he was going to die, he put up on Twitter, "I'm not going to kill myself. So just in case anybody, something happens, it wasn't me." He had a dead man switch to all this information, like Snowden had, about leaking all this stuff. Like, people say Snowden's a conspiracy. That's not a conspiracy. He leaked a lot of government shit, and he's actually in another country because he had to escape being captured by the FBI. Now, this guy had the same amount of information that Snowden had, but he had a dead man switch. So if he didn't log into an email server or something, all those articles and all this stuff would be released if he didn't keep checking into it every couple of days or so. And people say that one of the databases that were holding all the secrets was in that Miami condo that collapsed. Now, this is the crazy stuff where you start getting into, like, the Sandy Hook shooting wasn't real. Like, that's a very, very big jump if you say that the reason why that building apartment collapsed was that the government collapsed it because it was holding all that information in that database on a dead man switch.
Did you see the picture of, so, like, on, I don't know, it was on Yahoo or something, there was a somebody in that building in the basement area, and they had pictures of, like, under there, and, like, yeah, it was cracked, and it was complete, yeah, it was a complete mess. So
what I'm saying is, you think if an airplane that was being jacked by a terrorist was flying into the White House, the government wouldn't shoot it down, no matter who the hell was on it?
Well, that has been, remember, they couldn't get the jets to the plane.
I know what I'm saying to you, but what I'm telling you is, when anything, that they've been known to shoot down planes with people in them, regular people, and threat that it might affect something, what makes you think that they're not above bombing a condo or putting a bomb in a condo and having it explode.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
You know what an age of provocateur is? Mm-mm. An age of provocateurs, people that the government hires to stir up a situation, which happened during the Black Lives Matter protests that nobody's looking into. So during the Black Lives Matter protests, there was a dude with a yellow umbrella that was walking with a hammer and just walking and slowly hitting every single store window with the hammer, blocking his face from the camera. An interviewer ran up to him and asked him what he's doing. The man kept walking and did not stop. He kept hitting the windows, making all this damages that are occur. So what age of provocateurs are people that the government hires to go into a riot or a protest, cause a bunch of disturbance and get a bunch of people riled up so the government can step in and take over the situation, because they can't just go in and stop a bunch of people from protesting. They can only stop it if it starts getting out of hand and destroying businesses. This is age of provocateurs. Now, during Black Lives Matter protests, they had giant pallets of bricks with no construction sites around on corners of streets where someone would just go, well, here's a brick. Grab it and chuck it. Just random piles of bricks. And I've talked about this to a couple of people, and how I'm talking to you about it. And they go, like, I feel like I'm a conspiracy person saying this right now. But when I say it to you like this, I've had people that go, yeah, and nobody's looking into it. And I'm like, so you know, and you're not even a conspiracy guy. They go, yeah, it's videos of just random piles of bricks with no construction sites around. You don't leave things like that open for the public. You don't do that. Yeah. Those are things you lock down so no one steals it in the middle of the night. So why were there random piles of that stuff too? And that's when it comes into age of provocateurs. You can Google it on your computer and look it up exactly right now. Do it right now. I'll make background noise. You will confirm exactly what it is.
I believe it's just very unfortunate, man, because obviously we had, you know, downtown, man, like downtown Indianapolis, dude, like a section of downtown Indianapolis got destroyed. I'm talking about the convention center windows were shattered, and our circle that's always nice and beautiful just completely like destroyed, and, you know, buildings and statues. Like, yeah, man, it's just very, very, very unfortunate.
But just like, so, I was telling you about the kid, for instance, that got arrested for the terroristic thing. It's called an agent provocateur. And in the definition of it is a person who commits an act to entice another person to commit an illegal or rash act or falsely implicated them in partaking in an illegal act. And these are people that are hired by the government and all these types of things. Is what I'm saying is, when it comes to something that's happened in our past, which has been known, recorded of these types of scenarios happening, what makes you think they're above doing it today? They just do it in a different form. You know, that's what the whole point of this whole thing is. And this is why these conspiracy theories, flat earth, all this stuff, they have valid reasons to them. And a lot of these things, especially when it comes to UAPs, why are we not getting the correct information? What are they trying to hide? If they're going to say they're going to be open and then give you 9 pages when the Australia releases 1700, what's happened? Is Australia more interesting? I'm not understanding this. Every single person who's an astrophysicist that I've talked to, I'm talking to a person that's followed by Obama. Obama follows him. He's coming on the show and he's going to tell me a little bit about this stuff. But he even says, he goes, every other country has way more information than the states have released. So the states is hiding a lot of stuff. And I'm like, what is there? Is that big of a thing? Are you that afraid that people can't handle it?
It's all about control, right? It's all about control and controlling information. What is information? Information is power. In the United States. So, in the government,
you've been stressed. I've been stressed. I've been getting all this type of stuff.
Like we were kind of talking about, I was like, you know, damn the man. The man, when I say, you know, don't listen to the man, damn the man is like the government, is the people in control. Like they're the ones trying to control our lives. Like they're the ones, like you just said, they're controlling, like, riots. They're controlling everything. So
if I tell you that, and the way you just said that they're controlling everything, does my conspiracy theory about them making the days longer and the nights shorter really that far off?
Come on. Oh, Jesus. I like your goblin theory on that one.
The goblin one's good. I like that too. I picture the Hunchback of Notre Dame just rotating them.
All right, look. So, I mean, you talk about like time and earth. I just think it's the earth and atmosphere and the sun or whatever. I just think it's Earth going through natural changes, because once again, I think we've talked about this before, Earth has changed over billions and billions of years.
Well, there's global collapses, that the global resets basically.
And the Earth is going to keep changing. right? So, I mean, dude, everyone can wake up 500 years from now and the earth is one big ball of fire, right? And then the fire goes out and like everything gets recreated. I don't know. But like the earth goes through, there was water earth, there was snow earth, right? So, I mean, the earth does change naturally. And you talk about climate change, blah, dude, blah, blah, blah. Dude, the earth changes.
Yeah, the Arctic floor the other day, the temperature was 118 degrees.
Yeah, okay. So I just watched a movie, the Liam Neeson movie on Netflix, where he's ice like riding. Dude, he's like driving semis on ice. And like, yeah, they're just like, hey, you got to go this speed. Can't slow down or truck is going to fall in the ice, right? Yeah, and there's points in the movies where the trucks fall in, semis fall in and stuff. That's what it made me think about. And like, yeah, man, because, yeah, temperature's rising, my friend.
Ooh, hot temperature's rising. I just look at it like it's just interesting because I can see if you can understand and still be able to chat with someone that can go into the conspiracy side of things, then you're more than willing to learn and be open-minded. But when it's so weird how so many people just reject the notions of things, like we talk about the vaccine, for instance. I'm not anti-vax. I just don't. I've said it. Don't think it's ready yet.
Did you get the vaccine?
No, I didn't get it yet. I keep getting calls. I've gotten 5 calls a day for like the past 2 weeks. They're spam calls. My phone silences them. And I called it back and it was like, hi, this is the COVID vaccine line or whatever. We can get you to your nearest. I'm like, now I'm definitely not getting it because you keep calling me so many times.
I will say this, and this is just one opinion, my opinion. I did not get, I don't know. Like I said, at the time, my soon to be ex-wife, she got COVID. I lived with her. I never had any symptoms. My kids never had any symptoms. I never had any symptoms this whole pandemic, whatever you want to call it. I've never had any symptoms. I go and get the vaccine. So I am vaccinated. I got the vaccine. I had symptoms for 2 days, right? And my arm hurt for like a week. Getting the shot. But so, yeah, like, so for me, I'm just like, huh, that's kind of funny. I didn't have any symptoms. I never got sick. And then I get a shot and then I get kind of sick for a few days.
Well, I had a guest on that explained how she was hospitalized after it. You know, the weird thing is that when it says on the CDC website, it says COVID vaccine complications, and then it shows you the number of people that have had severe side effects. And now there's a whole descriptive thing to it where 70 or what is it? I think it's like 7.5% of people will start getting this type of symptom that's known to happen with a certain amount of people. And there's all these different symptoms and all these things, some of them very severe.
Very severe.
Yeah, where you're going to be in the hospital, which people go, well, it's known with vaccines, it's known to happen. I'm like, 100%. Yeah, sure. But don't you start to think, like, isn't there a better method? Like, for instance, like Johnson & Johnson said the new Delta variant that's coming out, they're like, oh, ours covers that too. I'm like, how the hell did you know? We didn't even know this existed. That means, so wait, you're saying you're lying about it covering that, or are you saying that you knew it existed and you were waiting for this to be released?
That's funny because I heard the direct opposite. I heard, and I got the Johnson & Johnson one.
That's the one that was just trending on Twitter about being able to cover the Delta variant.
Okay, so that must have just, yeah, because what I heard like a week ago or whatever, that this new Delta strain, that because I got the Johnson & Johnson shot, the Johnson & Johnson is the least effective out of the three. And because of the new variant, not we have to, but it's that we might, if the variant gets crazy, the people who got the Johnson & Johnson one, because it was the least effective, would have to get a booster shot. Because like, yeah, you get a booster
Johnson
with the other
Johnson & Johnson says its vaccine protects against Delta, adding to the arsenal against the variant. And that's from the New York Times.
Yeah, but it's a different strand of the virus. So how do they know?
Exactly. So that means they had the information and they were waiting for it to release, or they're just bullshitting you. So it's one of the two. How did they know it was going to be able to do that?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, we just developed another one. Holy shit. Let's keep going with conspiracies. I like this. I just look at it like, I mean, when even now they're telling you, and there was a scientist on Joe Rogan that was an immunologist that was talking about this. He goes, now when you go and get the vaccine, I want to make sure I get this person's name correctly, because if I screw, I got to fact check, man, especially something this serious. You know, I don't ever really use my phone. But when you get something like this serious, you have to make sure you have the things that are supposed to be properly checked, so you're not just coming off like a nut job. Hang on, let's see. its most recent episodes. I think it was... I think it was Brett Weinstein and Dr. Pierre Corey. Dr. Pierre Corey and Brett Weinstein, just for people listening, their background is Dr. Pierre Corey is an ICU and lung specialist who's an expert on the use of the drug ivermectin to treat COVID-19. And Brett Weinstein is a evolutionary biologist at Princeton. So these two guys were talking about it. The one dude, Dr. Pierre Corey, had a YouTube channel, and he was talking about the benefits of ivermectin. And he was talking about the benefits of another drug that's actually cheaper that the United States will not pass, only because they can't really profit off of it. They want the profit vaccine. They want to make money off of what they're going to give you. So that's always how it is. It's always money. So that's not a big shocker. But what they did was this guy used his YouTube channel, and his YouTube channel got taken down for medical misinformation or medical disinformation. There's a difference between medical disinformation and medical misinformation. Misinformation means you accidentally got it wrong. Medical disinformation means you purposely intended to put out that this information would be wrong, and you're trying to steer the public in another direction. His whole YouTube, his livelihood, he makes money off of his channel that supports his family, has been taken down. He goes on this podcast and explains that they won't allow it up there. The censors won't allow it up there. Even talking about the lab, YouTube would have flagged you if you would have even mentioned the lab. They didn't want that on there. And then when the government decided, hey, we're going to look into it, that's when they said, okay, it's okay. And the censors relieved you from ever sending anything about the lab. But the crazy thing is when they said, okay, we're going to look into the lab now, got hit by two tornadoes. What the fuck are we talking about here? What the lab got hit by two tornadoes? What the shit? Like, what the hell? It was either two or it was one, and then one happened across the street. But the one main natural disaster that happens in China is earthquakes. I had a buddy of mine who's in Japan right now. He's a past guest, Mr. Morris. I'm not going to say his full thing in case he doesn't want me talking about this. But he even sent me a message. He goes, we don't ever have hurricanes here. That doesn't happen. And I'm like, well, is that climate change? Is that like the whole like thing with climate change? He goes, man, he goes, I was listening to one of your episodes. I know you were joking around about them. Like, why haven't they found a fix to natural disasters? We have all this technology to go to Mars. Is it population control? He goes, dude, they might actually be controlling the weather. I'm like, motherfucker.
Oh,
like,
no.
He's probably joking around with me. But when you really look at that type of concept of things, they're not giving room for people to think these ways. Now, I'm thinking rationally now. I'm not just having fun with those conspiracies a minute ago. But you can see how they all start to kind of make sense. Like, holy shit, like a lot of things aren't really adding up. But people don't want to even be open to the opportunity or look into that. All I'm saying is stand where I stand. And where I stand is I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to see what the hell happens, because guaranteed you later down the road, it's going to say this was true, this was true, this was true. Alex Jones, out of everything he said, he's gotten a lot of this right. About a year ago or 5-6 months ago, he was rambling off in an episode on Joe Rogan. And he said that the Chinese government owns Hollywood. And then he skipped over to Bohemian Grove and started. That's where I started getting into Bohemian Grove when you were on way back. And John Cena, during the Fast 9 release, came out and spoke perfect Mandarin, apologizing to the Chinese people.
Apologizing, yeah.
So he was right about the Chinese government owning Hollywood. $160 million was from that profit of that movie, and 130 of it came from China. China has now banned YouTube. And China has banned a bunch of things. I'm just saying
that
we take everything from them. We get everything, our supplies. That's the reason why we built up so fast. And now we got to find a way to make ourselves more sustainable. But to think that any of these government that want control, don't look at the model that the Chinese government's using and go, how can we get like that to where the people don't know anything? They're stuck in their corners and they're doing what they can just to be able to survive while we go and do whatever we want. That's what I'm saying is that's what it comes to with the idea of power. It's not exactly about being a conspiracy theorist. It's not about being into this. When the idea of power comes in, you tend to go a little stir crazy. I think a presidential thing, you can't get it all done in 4 years, but I don't think you should have the power for more than two. I don't think you should have the power from in any seat. We have people in the Senate that die in the fucking Senate.
Yeah, but it's fixed, right? So the election, it's fixed, right? You want to talk about conspiracy? I mean, you honestly think the election is every vote is no.
We have a guy in our fucking offices that has an eye patch. Who the hell elected a James Bond villain to be our fucking Dan, I get it. He's a Navy SEAL, so that's his excuse. But I'm like, dude, I'll give you the best examples. Bernie Madoff. What did he do? Madoff with all of the money. It was in the fucking name.
Madoff.
Lyndon Johnson. Shows his Johnson. He got the whole thing of pulling down his pants and showing everybody his Johnson. Those whole allegations that came out. It's in their fucking name. If a dude comes up to you and his name is going to take all your money, I'm just going to say, why are we going to elect that guy? I'm not electing him. Are you electing him? Who's electing the person? I'm not doing any of these voting things.
Well, yeah, because it's fixed. Like I said, the government will elect him and then he'll take all our money.
I don't know if it's fixed because I don't
come on. Like, you know, okay. No, not all of it maybe, but a portion of it, man, has to be.
I think the way they fix it, though, is by trying to make sure that you get the worst possible thing about you. And I think that's just by the eyes of the media to make you look like a nut job.
All right, let me say this, because I didn't know this, because, dude, I don't pay attention to the news or watch the daily news or no news stories or whatnot. But I guess Biden just bombed somewhere. Like, he bombed a different country somewhere.
Yeah.
Just recently, right? All right. And look, I don't want to get political. Don't tell me if Donald Trump was still in office and he fucking bombed somewhere. Dude, everybody would fucking go ape shit because it was Donald Trump.
I mean, I don't want to pick on Biden any more than a lot of people already do. But during his conference, he says that the vaccine, there's still a lot of large people that aren't getting the vaccine. And then instead of saying Latinos, he goes, especially the Latinx community. And everyone's like, what the fuck did you just say? And then he goes, guys, this is a vaccine. It's important. It's not like the Tuskegee Airmen. And then everyone's like, did you mean the Tuskegee syphilis experiments? And he's like, I'm like, I feel so bad for him because he's basically, they're grooming Kamala Harris to be the president. And he knows that. Like, imagine knowing they're waiting for you to croak so the person under you can take
no,
over.
No, they're going to be like, hey, man, he's got Alzheimer's. She has to be president now.
Oh, here's a good conspiracy one for you. So Biden's son got caught like getting payments from Russia, like getting.
Yeah, that was the stuff that Trump was talking about. And,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And all the debates.
So when that happened, they cut off their ties with Russia about him getting. Yeah. About him getting $50,000 payments. So guess what Hunter Biden did? He now has started his own art. He started making paintings and mysterious buyers are buying them. And guess how much the paintings are going for?
$50,000.
Exactly. That was trending too on Twitter. People were like, hold on a fucking second. Didn't no one connecting the dots here? They're literally in the article. I will pull this up too, because this is another one I got to talk about. Jesus. I love it that you're on because you get to laugh at this stuff with me because I feel like I'm going stir crazy.
Man. This is amazing. Oh, man.
And the person that discovered all this stuff. Oh, it's 500,000. I'm sorry. We were off by 450,000. The person that discovered all this stuff was Obama's ethics chief.
Because look, the what was it? Biden has kind of like the Obama people right with him in his inner group, doesn't he?
Yeah,
I believe in the White House.
I've talked to my astrophysicist friend when I was talking about like this guy who's another astrophysicist that I'm getting on the podcast is followed by Biden, and then she just goes, "Yeah, Biden knows a lot about." I'm like, about the UFO stuff. She goes, "Yeah," and I'm like, "Is it like confirmed? There's some real shit. Like that's actually what she, Dr. Srinemi, wants to come on the podcast to talk about the whole UA alien things, because she actually does broadcast down there talking about this to the people in Lebanon language, because they have a bunch of stuff that they've released to their people, and for us, we haven't gotten jack shit. So that's like the weirdest thing of like how we're being like China's censoring them. Well, we're being censored by the government when it comes to the alien stuff. But President Barack Obama's ethics chief on Monday slammed Hunter Biden's shameful and grifty sale of his art pieces for up to $500,000 to anonymous buyers as part of an upcoming exhibit, and it's the paintings are shit. The paintings are, and I don't know what to say because we also sold a banana with duct tape on a wall for like $50,000. So
I was just gonna say art is subjective.
Right? Is that, I mean, is that a conspiracy? Really? Like the, it came out in a government article thing too. Like the Obama's guy found it all out. I'm like, I don't know what people still want to see. Like, does it have to be like, I am Russian and I'm giving the guy the money. Is this enough for you? Is that what you have to do for someone to believe you?
I'm going to start an art business.
I'm going to start an art business and paint some pieces of shit.
I'm going to smear pieces of shit on a canvas.
Who would have known that good art can get you shady deals in the Middle East? I wouldn't have known.
Oh, man.
It's a crazy word. So you see what I've been involved with the past couple of months?
No, absolutely. No, dude, come on, dude. I think I texted you. The world is a crazy place, my friend. I mean, it's an absolutely crazy, crazy world. And all we can do is paddle through all the BS, man, and hopefully find, you know, some positivity, man, and something somewhere, you know, you think to keep us level.
We're paddling? We're drowning. We got sold a shitty paddle boat with one pedal in it, where someone has to take their bare foot and crank the metal rod just to be able to move the other side so we don't spin around in fucking circles like a dog trying to chase his own tail. That's what we're doing right now.
Oh, man. We'll just get the goblins to help us.
Dude, that is a good conspiracy. That's a good one. Got a golem-looking Goonies character hiding in the freaking middle of the earth, just rotating the giant thing of the world to make the time and day go shorter and longer.
Rocky Road.
Can anybody get me some ice cream? It's hot down here. There's a really good, if you got Netflix, because I know you mentioned that that's on Netflix.
Yeah, I got Netflix. Everyone has Netflix.
There's a really good movie called Primal on Netflix, but it's with Nicolas Cage. And he's a hunter hunting exotic animals. And this is what I think, like, there are some people, like, when he's in this other country, he's hunting exotic animals. He catches a white jaguar, which is like rare as shit. He has in the back of his truck. And this guy goes, I will not drive with you. And he goes, one of the people indigenous to the island. And he goes, what? I paid you money for the truck and for you to drive me. I need a driver. Let's go. And he goes, no. He goes, you just caught the white devil. And it's like the jaguar. It's killed multiple people. He gives like this whole like story about it. And he goes, I will not go with you. Here, take your money. And gives the guy his money back. And he goes, all right, well, I paid for the truck, so I'm going to take the truck. And he starts getting into the truck and he looks back and there's a bunch of little kids like playing soccer in the street. And he takes his money, grabs it and throws it at the guy and goes, buy your kids some shoes. And he gets in his truck and shuts the door and drives off. And I'm like, that's the people that people judge, but don't understand how actually they do help in a way. It might be a different form of helping, but it's a form of helping. And that's the whole kind of, it's a big takeaway I had from that was like, just that little thing comes off as an asshole. The kids, little kid that he's with, he's, you know, they're transferring all these, so the whole movie's like, he's transferring these animals back to whatever. And they end up adding escaped like an NSA prisoner that has to be guarded by all these people and it breaks out and then they have to fight on the boat. It's like a 2.5 hour movie. So that's just the basic thing you can read in the details of the episode. So I didn't spoil anything, but really good. But when he's talking to the kid, he's like, don't you ever name the bird? Don't you ever do that? And he's like, no, because once you name it, you can never lose it. And then it's like, he seems like a really tough outer shell person, but how many people we know with a tough outer shell that have a soft inside that are actually really, really sensitive? They're just afraid to let that guard down. Sometimes the people that you see, you judge a book by its cover, and they're not necessarily like that. And I think that's what we do when we elect things. We see a person that looks like they have promise and hope and all these things, and we elect them. But there's also a perspective of, I think you saw it best with Kamala Harris when she said the thing about the border, where they were like, are you ever going to go to the border? And she was like, I don't have any plans to go to the border and see all these things. Then she went to the wrong one, which was funny as shit. She went to the wrong border. That's nuts. How do you, it's in Texas. She was like, nope. And she went to a different one. And they're like, where's everybody at? Well, they're all waiting for you back at the other one. You went to the wrong, the old press crew. What was crazy was when she goes, don't come over here. And she's telling all the people that were trying to come over to this country, don't come. We will not accept you. Stay home. We don't want you. There's a video of her saying that. And everyone's like, what? And it was like, everyone like, did she just go back on everything she promised? And
yeah, because that's the complete opposite view that she portrayed to the public.
But examine her facial expression, her don't come. Her eyes are wide and like someone had just told her that Santa Claus isn't real. And when that comes in, it means when anybody is elected president and they go back on everything that they said, is because when they get into office, they realize when they want to pass something, it's going to fuck up a lot of other stuff that's going to throw this whole thing out of whack. So the government goes, yeah, but if you do that, see, if you pass, and this is an example I used and the person took it literally, so please don't take it literally. I said, if you pass this healthcare bill, a bunch of people are going to be homeless. So there's a cause and effect. It's not necessarily the guy that I said it to. He goes, how does Medicare make people homeless? I'm like, no. It's the literalness you're taking out of it. I don't want that. I'm talking about the example. So take any example and then make it a horrible effect that happens to it. Much like the cell phone, making people mindless and on their phones 24/7 kills communication. It's kind of like that. When you get into office, I'm going to pass healthcare. The government guy goes, yeah, but if you do that, it might be cool and all, but it might be good for a lot of people, but a lot of people are going to lose their homes because we have this system set into place. So actually, as a president, you don't really have any power at all. We're actually going to keep running the system this way, and you're going to sit and play fucking ball. Much like the queen, she has the face of power, but she doesn't actually have any power. When there's press conferences, there's people sitting in the room that are like actually listening to what's going on to make sure whatever goes, goes. She just sits there and kind of makes the face and makes the public appearance. They're puppets. And that's what the whole thing was when she got in there. I don't think the Illuminati is a bunch of people with shrouded cloaks. I think the Illuminati is, if you have enough money, they ask you, what are your goals? And you say, what do you mean? What are my goals? Are you in it for the money? No, I'm in it for the betterment of people. Okay. Well, thanks for coming down. We'll give you a call. And then they don't call that person back. But when a Bezos comes in and they go, what is your goals? I want to make as much money as possible. Nobody who makes money, these McDonald's companies, and I've talked about this before, cares about the people behind them. Because if I offer you right now, Mike, if I offer you $1 billion and I say, you're going to have this $1 billion to start your own company and make a bunch of money. And you're going to take care of your family and never have to struggle ever again. But it's going to mess up future generations. People you don't even know. People aren't even existing yet. You don't care. You go with the money because it's going to help you and your family out right now. You don't know those people. You can't connect to those people. That's why I'm pushing for community. Conversation, getting to know one person, that one person ends up knowing someone that you know. Next thing you know, they become friends through you. You start to develop this thing where you start to give a shit and have empathy again. And then you don't worry about these giant structuralized industries that are so reverse to change that when you get into office, you can't do a damn thing you said you were going to do because you realize if you do, the whole world's going to go to shit.
No, that's a really, really good point. It's you're right. It's called the five separations of Kevin Bacon, right? Because Kevin Bacon, no, you know, but like, so, but put that into, like you said, like your community system, and eventually, man, everybody is connected, and then you do care about everybody, right? It's a much bigger picture than just you thinking about yourself. And that's the problem, dude, man. Americans, the United States, we're all selfish bastards.
So is Australia. So is UK. Right. The whole world is because the way that the system runs, the system runs to once you put you in a spot. Now, I didn't want to turn this into a whole government episode. I was hoping this was going to be like a fun, happy, like happy to have you back. You know, I care about you a lot.
I know you do, my friend. And you've been worried about me the past month. I know. But
don't tell people good. That. What are you doing?
Hey, he does have a heart.
It's a heart hidden by all these conspiracy lies.
That's the guy. Government.
If you could get one answer out of any of the things that have happened, which one would you be the most interested out of everything
UFOs,
we just talked about?
UFOs, man.
Not 9/11?
UFOs.
JFK.
Come on, dude. The grassy knoll. No, UFOs.
Oh, the grassy knoll. Well, come on. What are you talking about?
UFOs, dude. Come on. Like, other life, right? Come on. Like,
well, what's your definition of that? Because we're already opening up other... So, an astrophysicist talked about how now the government is starting to look into the old thing that we were doing before. Remember I told you about the particle accelerator that people were afraid were going to create black holes. Well, now they're using it. They're finding a way to be able to open up another dimension because now they're starting to believe that there is another dimension out there that does exist. Neil deGrasse Tyson has talked about it too, about opening up other dimensions that the government is starting to look into. Which is more enticing to you, UFOs or another dimension?
Oh, now that's a good one, because if you open up another dimension, it's almost the same thing. You don't know what the fuck's going to happen. Now, there's a lot of Stephen King things that say these fucking monsters with all these fucking razor sharp teeth come out of another dimension and fuck all our shit up.
I really hope
you ever see The Fog? Yeah. I mean, good fuck. Langoliers?
Wait, The Mist or The Fog?
The Mist. The Mist. The Mist. Langoliers, it's all other dimension stuff where these fucking monsters come through and they just fucking kill everybody and they have razor sharp fucking teeth. The fucking new Chris Pratt, I don't know if you saw the new Chris Pratt movie on Amazon Prime. It was some fucked up looking monsters in that fucking movie.
What do you think another dimension is, though? Because everyone has a different concept
of who knows, man. Dimensions. Yeah, I, dude, what if it's just another reality like we live here on Earth, like, but it's just everybody, you know. I would like to think, like, yeah, dude, it is super. Like I said, I'm just gonna mash. I'm gonna cheat. I'm gonna say you open up a dimension and you find superior beings, right? That are actually in control of us. They're the ones who made us. They're the ones, right? You go through the portal and like there's just this big room with like a million TVs and they're watching every single one of our lives. And they're just, you know, and there's these fucking beings that just
like in Scary Movie with the guy in the lighthouse.
Yeah.
Dan Carlin sitting there and looking at all the TVs.
Go back to the Big Bang or whatever fuck you want to call it. God, Big Bang, whatever. How did we start? How did this fucking start? Is there a fucking room in another dimension? And that's how this fucking is. This has happened. Superior beings made the livers and the organs and the brain and the kidneys and your urinary tract. And they're sophisticated enough where after years and years and thousands of years, they perfected this, right? And they're just like, okay. The liver goes here. You know, it's like a car. You build a car and it runs. This goes here. This goes here. There's super intelligent beings that made this thousands and thousands of years and they perfected it. Obviously, they didn't perfect it because, right, still shit happens. And they monitor what they created.
Do you think that it's multiple different universes or dimensions, or do you think could that be. It's just one?
Maybe it is, because why is everyone's body so different? Why do some people get cancer and some people don't get cancer? Some people get AIDS, some people don't get AIDS, some people get diseases, some people get sick a lot, some people don't get sick, some people get COVID, some people don't, some people get so that's what I'm saying. Like, if there is multiple dimensions and multiple super beings, intelligent beings that made us, that's why maybe we're so different, right? I don't know. Maybe aliens put eggs in volcanoes and shot them out.
That's a good one too.
That's Scientology. Come on,
that's Scientology.
You don't know that? That's what they believe. They believe in that alien. And long ago, when the dinosaurs roamed to Earth, that the spaceship came down and they dropped like eggs and shit in the volcanoes. And oh yeah, dude, look just when you get free time, look up Scientology. It is crazy. Like I said, John Travolta, Tom Cruise, like that religion is
John Travolta left.
Did he leave? But dude, yeah. They believe in an alien UFO being. That's like Scientology.
Have you seen the building of Scientology?
No.
It looks like a Disney fucking park amusement ride. It's a purple building, and it says in giant, bold Hollywood sign letters on top of it, Scientology.
Oh, boy.
I've actually talked to Scientologists, but we've never really gone into depth.
I'm surprised you don't know how much you're in the UFOs. Like a UFO is at the center of Scientology.
Well, if any Scientologists are listening, I would like to say that I would like to join if I don't have to pay rent.
It's very interesting.
I'm not shaving my head, though. I can't rock bald. I look back at some of our past episodes where I had a beanie on, and I look like a fucking Make-A-Wish kid. You couldn't tell I had hair.
You still look like Tom Holland, so it doesn't matter.
Maybe in an alternate dimension, I'm Tom Holland. Maybe that's me from the... Dude, I got a spam call on my phone, and it was my phone number. And I was like... And my phone sent it immediately to spam. And I was like, that's my phone number. Oh no. And I was like, I called it. It went right to voicemail. It was my phone number. It went right to my voicemail. So voicemail box is full. And I go, dude, how many times have I said if there was a future time machine thing, if I could go and contact my past self? Imagine if that was me calling.
It was you trying to call. Damn you. It. And teach you some fucking valuable lesson and you didn't answer.
I do want to put this up here for any of the people that are really looking to get the vaccine. The number is 1-240-673-2163. That is the number that has called me. Let's see. They called me at 4:11 a.m. That's a bold move. They called me 12:53 a.m., 11:54 p.m., 10:53 p.m.
Jeez.
And let's see. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 calls, and that's dating back to the 3rd. So
all from yourself.
These are all from the COVID number.
Oh, from the COVID.
We're recording this on the 6th. So like that's 3 days and that's like 16, 17 calls, man.
Well, go get your vaccine. Go get your vaccine. Get
not if you're calling me that much. You put up a Ben and Jerry's ice cream. It might entice me a little bit.
Go get your vaccine. Then go get some Ben and Jerry's. There you go. You'll be fine. You might have symptoms for a few days.
My arm might hurt. And then I can't put the ice cream to my mouth. That's the ironic part we were talking about. You get arthritis in your hands if you're an artist. You can't get the ice cream in your mouth after you get your shot. Do you want your free burger at Shake Shack? Please get your shot. But it's been nice having you back on again, man. We got to do another one.
We will 100%. Do another one, since this is the only podcasting I am doing currently. Is if I'm doing
so,
it
is Robbie
One
Kenobi dead?
He might be a force ghost.
Damn it!
I don't know, man. It's just right now. I just, like I said, I'm getting through all my stuff, and I don't know if I will start back up my Star Wars podcast or not. I'm enjoying my Fridays and Saturdays.
Let me do a reaction video.
Oh boy!
I love Tobey Maguire.
Oh boy. So like I said, I'm just sticking with YouTube right now. The Bully Bros, Sif Talkers on YouTube.
Make sure I link it all in the description.
Yep. All at Sif Talkers, Bully Maguire Reactions.
What do you want to end on? If anybody's listening.
We're gonna end on this. These conspiracies. All these files that are going to come out, guess what will not be true? There's going to be a file and it's going to say Mr. Rogers on it. And Robbie's going to open it up and he's going to say, nope, Mr. Rogers was a nice guy. And that's all the file's going to say. He was a nice guy and nice to kids. And he's going to close the file and he's going to call. He's not going to message me. He's going to call me. He's going to be like, Mike, you're right. Mr. Rogers was a good guy.
I want to bring up a couple of points. One, how many things have I said that ended up being right?
I don't care. You will not
right. Listen to this. Okay. About this. So the day we recorded this yesterday was the passing of the director of the original Superman.
Richard Donner?
Yeah, he died. So 3 days before that, so technically 2 days before yesterday, I had joked and randomly said in my mind that if there's one thing I could own would be the original Superman suit from the original Christopher Reeves version. Yeah. But I want it when he broke his back. I wanted him to be, because you always wear the suit. You never take it off. So I'm like, he probably broke it in the suit. He just had clothes on top of it. You know what I mean? Like you have it under your stuff. I've never taken it off ever. But I was joking around saying I wanted the super suit. Then 2 days later, the original director dies. And then I'm like, look, man, a lot of shit that I said Larry King died in an episode. Larry King as an example. And someone told me he died in the episode that day. I'm not saying I'm God, but I'm just saying. No, I'm kidding. Second thing is, you said that he was good to kids. Mr. Rogers, maybe a little bit too good.
Oh, boy. Oh, huh? No.
How many people didn't believe Bill Cosby did anything? But he got a damn good lawyer, didn't he? That's so crazy how many, so many. Remember that page I told you about, the Bill Cosby's innocent page?
Yeah.
I want to message him and just be like, you were right. You're right.
But Mr. Rogers is a saint.
I bet he is. A saint of hell. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of Out of the Blank. Stay tuned for our next episode.